Come on, bless the Lord, everybody. Come on, I said bless the Lord, everybody. I didn't say bless me. Come on, we got to bless the Lord and praise God. It's such a wonderful and beautiful day. A great opportunity to be back in Central. I've been up in Saugerties, in Saugerties, our north location, for a while. And it's such a great pleasure to be part of a ministry where we have 7, 8 pastoral teams. So none of us are burdened because if you can't make it, we got your back. All right, if you have something else to do, we got your back. And it's just a blessing that we're able to move back and forth and, you know, intertwine with one another. And, you know, it's such a blessing. Look at Josh, he's on vacation. You know what I mean? The lead pastor, he's traveling America. But things are still going on. And that is truly a blessing, all right? So anybody that's here for the first time, we welcome you. Thank God for you, because you could have went anywhere else. And we hope that if you're looking for a church home, or we hear something, or we said something that you might like, and you might want to hang out with us, all right? We just crazy for Jesus, all right? We're not just crazy, all right? We crazy for Jesus, amen? Because what he has done for us. And it's so good to see each and every one of you, those I haven't seen in a while. Like I said, it's good to see each and every one of you. Thank God that you remain faithful and you're still in place, and that God is going to bless you for your faithfulness, because that's who we serve. We serve a faithful God. Amen? Amen. So when we're in this season of change where finally you got a short sleeve shirt on. Hallelujah! Right? Thank you, finally. You know, but we got to go through the seasons, because that's the way God ordained them, so we can't complain about them. But I like what's happening a lot more than I like what happened. Amen. So we thank and praise God. And I have my lovely wife with me, Kim. My lovely wife is with me. You know what I mean? I thank God, because we have such a great team of pastors and wives and stuff. And you know what I mean? Behind every great man, there is a great woman, one rib, no spare ribs, one rib, all right? But I thank God for my wife, because she is the one that helps me with the ministry and everything else, and been doing it for years. So I got to thank God for, you know, the Bible says when you find a wife, you find a good thing. So I found my good thing. Plus, I also found favor with the Lord, and that's more important than anything, that we have God's favor on our life more than we have anything. Amen. But as I was saying, in this time that, you know, springtime, where things are changing, you know, the weather's changing, the tapestry of the ground is changing, the grass is coming back, the trees are starting to bloom, the leaves are coming back, the geese is back, everything's coming back, you know. And that's what I want to talk about, because a lot of times in our Christian life, we come to Christ and we can be in ministry. And you know what I mean? You could be on the worship team. You could be serving at the back. You could be doing so many other things, and we just get in a rut. You know what I mean? So I want to talk today about change, all right? And the theme is going to be change is difficult, but it is necessary, all right? Change is difficult. None of us like to go through change, right? Because we get so routine. But I was telling the up north, I was telling them all, somebody just take a different route, go to work a different way, come home a different way. Gary was one of the guys that did it. Pastor Gary was one of the ones that raised their hand. Another thing, how many people got Bibles? Two of you? No. How many people got notebooks? Okay. We got to get a few more notebooks. Only because, I always say this, that Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance the things that I have taught you. All right? And in this busy age and the busy life that we live in, it's hard for him to bring back to remembrance, because we do not write it down. Now, I'm 50. I just turned 57. I write everything down. Okay? I write everything down. Because if I don't write it down, it'll be out the window. You know? As we grow older, all right, we tend to forget a little bit more than when we were 18, 20, or whatever. So write everything down. So I just encourage you, because we are a Bible-believing church, all right? And I'm going to encourage you also that we have this 9:30 KLC class, all right? Some of you go to bed a little bit early so you can get up on time and come in. Amber did a wonderful, wonderful job this morning, All right, Amber, Dan's wife, who was just up here, okay, with three. She got three and one coming, all right? Now, this is a woman that got three babies and one coming, and she's up here teaching KLC class. What's your excuse? Okay, so all it takes is you getting up a little bit early and, you know, setting your mind. Because, see, change. You know what I mean? I know everybody got that old thing, well, Sunday's the only day I get to sleep. All right? No, but Sunday's the day that we worship God in spirit and truth. All right? So we can't use that excuse no more. All right? And because Amber and Dan are the youngest of the bunch of the pastoral team, and we want to encourage them. We want to encourage them that we believe in them, that they have something to say even to us with the gray hair. All right? That's why I'm here. All right? I'm preaching today. I could have showed up 11 o'clock. Because I didn't have to get up here until 11:30, all right? But because I am part of this ministry and I want to encourage, and I love the Word, because she was talking about loving the Word, amen? Because you have to love the Word of God, because that's what brings change in your life, is the Word. We have to understand that, amen? So we're going to turn to the book of Romans, all right? Romans 12. All right, we're going to start there at Romans 12, and I typed it out so I didn't have to carry my Bible. Okay, it's not that I don't have my Bible. I got my Bible right over there. All right? Let us just pray. Eternal Father and our God, we're truly grateful and thankful for this day. God, I thank you for this opportunity, oh God, to speak into your people's lives, oh God. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that they may see all of you and none of me, God, that they may hear all of you and none of me, oh God. Father, I pray for the hearts that have been prepared, oh God, that they will receive this word, oh God, that it will produce some 30, some 60, some hundredfold in their lives. Amen? Amen. So we're going to the book of Romans 12. All right, this is one of Paul's best. There you go. Thanks, Mike. All right. Best writings to the church. Paul had such great love for God, and he had such great love for the church because of the transformation that had happened in his life. We have to understand that Paul was the chief persecutor of God's church. All right? But once he had that Damascus Road experience, everything changed in his life. All right? And there's a lot of us in here who have had a Damascus Road experience where our lives have been transformed. Not just changed, I mean transformed, all right? And so Paul was coming from that aspect because, you know what I mean, there's always going to be oppositions to your faith. We were talking about that earlier, all right? There's always going to be opposition to your faith, whether it comes from your family, it's definitely going to come from your coworkers unless they ain't saved, all right? Your neighbors or anybody else, there's going to be opposition to your faith. But you have to learn to remain strong, even in the midst of opposition, all right? Even them calling you Jesus freaks, holy rollers, or whatever they're going to call you. Everything but a child of God, all right, that we have to learn to remain strong. And one of the things is I'm reading from the Amplified, all right, and this is Paul. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you, in the view of all the mercies of God, that you make a decisive decision of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, 2013, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Amen? So if there's anything Paul is appealing to the church, he says, I beg you, all right, by the mercies of God. He's making an appeal to the church, relating to them, helping them to understand, all right, that we're the ones that have to make this decision. Nobody can make this decision for you. This is an act of surrender. He's talking about, Paul knew about animal sacrifices and all that stuff because that's what he came out of, all right? But now that he is born again, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, had an experience with Christ on that Damascus Road, everything has changed because the sacrifices are no longer dead. he's alive. He said, present your body as a living sacrifice. He's not asking you to deal with anybody else. He's asking us to deal with you, all right? Each and every one of us. And if we're going to have change in our lives, it's so easy to look out the window and point out what's going on in everybody else's life. But when you look in the mirror, are you just as critical with yourself as you are with everybody else? Because this is about change. That's what he's talking about. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change starts right here. Change starts right here. Change starts in your mind. It starts in your thinking. And because we are born again believers, that means we have a new identity. We have a new mindset. Or we should have a new mindset. All right? And the spiritual renewal of your mind is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen from one church service. It's not going to happen from one prayer service. It's not going to happen because you come to KLC class, right? It's going to happen because this is what you do on a constant basis. Anytime a thought comes into your mind, you ask yourself, where is this coming from? All right? 2 Corinthians 10 talks about our weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. All right? That we take every thought into captivity. He said every thought. All right? Good, bad, or indifferent. Every thought you have to take captive. Because the longer you let that stuff stay there, it's like seeds. Weeds grow in your garden. All right? And the longer you let this stuff stay there, it's going to grow. And it is going to produce something. All right? It is definitely going to produce something in your life. So he is teaching us that our minds are very important. Our minds are for the Lord. He said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. All right? Because we are transformed people now. And so we should live transformed lives. All right? Like I said, change is difficult, but it is necessary. Necessary means it's essential, it's important, it's required, and it is mandatory. One of the resistance to change is what makes change so difficult is the opinions of others. Because we value more what people say about us more than our desire to change. A lot of times we have a desire to change, but we value more what people say about us. Why are you doing that? You know what I mean? Why are you drinking that? When people are getting up early in the morning now and drinking fruit with the protein in it, why are you drinking that? All right? We desire more. I mean, we value more what people say to us more than what the word of God says to us. And what we have to learn to do is, because he's saying that you're presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, that you have to take, this is your life, this paper is your life. And you have to take that paper, all right? And you got to put it on your Bible. And you say, Lord, anything that's in my life that doesn't line up with your word, show it to me. Show it to me, God. Anything that's in my life that doesn't line up with this, show it to me that I may change my life. That's the only way that your life is going to change. That's the only way. Because the Bible says if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. All right? All things. Not just some things, but all things have to become new in our lives. But we have to understand it starts with the renewing of our mind each and every day. Because all of us have came out of families with certain values, certain traditions, and certain things. I'm not knocking your family. I came out of a family with a whole bunch of traditions and stuff too. But once I got born again, all right, I understood that some of these things that I've been taught and some of these traditions are contrary to who I am in Christ. So that's where you have to make the adjustment. All right, you still love your people. You still love your friends, but the adjustment has to be is once I understand what God's truth is for my life, then I have to make a decision to change, all right? Because he says you have to make a decisive decision. That's not, you know, on the fence, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. Decisiveness means I understand it and that's what I'm going to do. But a lot of us get caught up in the whims of, well, they're not going to understand this, they're not going to understand that, you know what I mean? You're more worried about what people are going to say more than you're worried about what God is saying about your life and what he has already said in his word as far as who you are in him. Amen? So we have to make a decision. You still love people, but you can't allow that their opinion means more to you than the word of God. See, this word has to have weight in your life. All right? This has to become the final authority in your life, the word of God. If you want change, this has to become the final authority. What does God say about raising my children? What does God say about disciplining my children? All right? And a lot of people don't want to go there because that's your little baby. Yeah, and that's true. But they're going to be 16 one day. So if you don't deal with them right here, they're going to be saying stuff to you, and you're going to say, all right, I brought you in this world, and I will take you out of here, all right, mothers. But we have to understand that the Bible gives us clear directions of who we are. And then when you become born again, you're going to have to change, because guess what? When you start disciplining your kids and grandma and auntie and uncle and all them start saying stuff, you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to listen to them? Okay? Or I'm going to listen to what the word says. He said, spare the rod, spoil the child. He said, beat them with a rod and deliver their souls from hell. Proverbs. Okay? Find it. It's in there. Like Prego. It's in there. All right? But we have to understand that if we're going to change our mind, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it has to be over and over and over again. All right? You have to wash out all that stankin' thinking that all of us had and renew our minds with the word of God. So therefore, it doesn't matter what other people is going to say. See, listen, life always changes. All right? You change your address, you change your jobs, you change relationships, you change church, schools, etc. But one thing you can be sure of, that without a doubt, that there is one, the one you have put your faith and your trust in, that he will never change. God will never change. God will never violate his word to accommodate our foolishness. Never. I don't care how you try to fix it up, how you try to make it. God is not going to change. He said, I am the Lord in Malachi 3:6. He said, I am the Lord and I changeth not. And there's so many other things that are changing. Like I said earlier, it's springtime. There's a lot of things changing right now. All right? But see, even springtime knows when to come. The geese know when to leave and when to come back. There's so many things that God has set in place that everything in the earth obeys God except for us. Right? Remember they said with Jesus, what manner of man is this? The wind and the waves obey him. But what about us? Okay? What happens when we hear a word, like we're hearing one now, about change? You know, because we don't like change. We're so regimented that we don't like it, okay? Because change is uncomfortable. It doesn't feel right. But we must learn to embrace change for our betterment, because it's not for our demise. Amen? God is changing us into something better. All right? He's changing us each and every day into something better, something that he could use for his glory and for his honor. That's what change is all about. And that's what we have to learn to do, change. All right? He said, don't be conformed. That word conform means to make like in form with another person. Because somebody was saying earlier about we want people to like us. You know what I mean? And a lot of times we do things that you haven't been taught to do from your family just for people to like you. All right? You start dressing like other people because you want them to like you, right? Oh, man, I'll never forget this. I'll tell a story, okay? Quick one. My sister, all right? She'll kill me, though. It's all right. But anyway, remember, we grew up in the, remember them halter tops? Everybody remember them things? All right? My mother specifically told my sisters, listen, I don't care what's out there. You ain't wearing that, all right? So my sister being slick, thought she was slick, all right? She put on one of them halter tops, but she put on her regular clothes over top of it, right? So once she got away from the house, Sonia Gray, and he knows my sister, and she thought nobody could see her, she done took off her, the thing, and she was walking down the street with them halter tops. But lo and behold, here come my oldest brother driving by, and said, get in this car. Because he heard the same conversation we all heard, right? Get in this car. So she only not got it from him. See, we old school. You get it from your older brothers. Then when you get home, you get it again. But I just said that because, see, sometimes, you know what I mean? This word conform, what Paul was trying to teach the church, that we try to be like other people. All right? We're not like other people. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. All right? We don't fashion our lives according to what the new standard of dress is. All right? Or what the next house is, or what the next car is, because some of us have got ourselves in debt and everything else by trying to keep up with the Joneses, who don't even like you. The Joneses don't like you, but you're trying to keep up with them. And that's what Paul was trying to make the church see. Don't be like this world. Whatever it was back then, I know it's crazier now than it was. We got the Boston Marathon to prove that. All right, as this world gets crazier and crazier, he says, denoting a union with, together, association, companions, resemblance. See, we're not supposed to look like this world or to be fashioned after this world. Conform means the same pattern. Conform to fashions oneself according to. Romans 8 and 29 says that whom he foreknew, he also predestined that we may be conformed into the image and likeness of his son. God already got a plan. Who we're supposed to be like. God already got a plan, so we don't need nobody else's plan what we're supposed to look like. We're supposed to look like Jesus Christ each and every day of our life. We're supposed to sound like Jesus Christ each and every day of our life. Our actions are supposed to be like Jesus Christ each and every day of our life. But if you do not read this word and allow this word to get inside of you, there will be no change in your life. Hebrews 4 and 12 says that the word of God, it is living and it is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. All right? See, because even though once we put this word inside of us and you got them crazy thoughts, that word's going to discern. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't act like that. Don't do that. Okay? That's why the psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You understand? We have to change the way that we think. All right? He said, be ye transformed. Transform means change, to be transfigured. Transfigure yourself. When Jesus took his disciples up on that mountain and he showed them all the glory, whatever he showed them, Peter and them started building huts. All right? You want us to stay up here, Lord? We're going to build one for you, build one for Moses, build one for Elijah, whatever they see, okay? But you have to understand this transformation that God is talking about is just like a caterpillar going to a butterfly. That's what he's talking about, that a completely new thing. Anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation, all right? A caterpillar goes through a total transformation in his life. He trusts God enough to climb up that tree, hook himself on, spin himself, whatever he spins is like Spider-Man, psst, that little cocoon, okay? With natural predators and everything else, but he submits, like Paul said, presenting your body as a living sacrifice. He submits to whatever God is going to do in his life to transform his life. And you have to understand, once this word is inside you, there's going to be an inward change first before there's going to be an outer change. Because what sense does it make for God to take a caterpillar that crawled on the ground and now give him wings to fly and he don't know he can fly? See, he just don't change his body on the outside. He changes his thinking. I used to crawl, but now I can fly. You understand what I mean? And that's what you have to understand. You used to crawl over things. Now you can fly over things. See, your view in Christ, the victory that you have, your view is going to look a lot different when you're flying over top of it, other than when you're down here in it, in the middle of the mess. Amen? So that's what he's talking about, that ye be ye transformed, but it has to be by the renewing of your mind. Metamorphosis. You go through a complete change. You have to allow this word, the process of renewing your mind, to bring a complete change in your life. Okay? God is not fragmented. He don't do this a little bit, halfway, three quarters. No, God is going to take you all the way. But you have to be willing to submit to the change because it's difficult. Change is difficult. It's very difficult. But we have to understand change is also part of God's process for our life. Jesus is a tough act to follow. And you have to understand each and every day of your life, that's what God is doing to you. He is changing you. That's why he brings them people that get on your last nerve in your life. that as soon as you see them, you be like, oh, no, no. All right? Because God's trying to teach you how to love people. That it's so hard to love. See, it's easy for us to love each other because we Christian. Praise the Lord, everybody. As soon as you hear that, you're like, yeah, all right. They know that God I know. All right? But how about the gangbangers and the guys with the spike here and holes in everything, you know, cursing you right to your face? Can you love them too? Can you love them too? Yeah, I know you can, but I'm saying, do you? Ain't no question what we can do. I'm just saying, do we do this? All right? Because most of us go the other way. Instead of stepping to the plate with a smile or something, or try to find some conversation. Like Paul said, I have become all things to all men. He didn't say, I do all things like all men. He said, I have become all things to all men so I can learn how to relate to you and talk to you about this Jesus that's going to save you instead of that devil that's getting ready to take you to hell. But see, we have to understand that our minds have to be renewed. We are the greatest instruments to change. Husbands are looking for wives to change them. Some people got married thinking you're going to change somebody. That's a lie. You ain't changing nobody. You can't even change yourself, let alone change somebody else. There are people miserable right now thinking they were going to change somebody. And you can't change them. But you can change you. You can change you. The last fruit of spirit says self-control. It didn't tell you to control anybody else. He said self-control. Learn how to control self, and you're going to bring change. Why? Because instead of frowning at people, you're going to learn to smile at people. And instead of getting excited when people are not doing what you think they should do or the way you think they should do it, okay? Because you're changing. You're learning that people are different. One of my things, even though I've been in ministry 16 years, that I'm learning to meet people where they are, all right? And no matter what assignment I give them, I have to allow them to do it with what they have, not with what I have. Because I have a lot of training, a lot of schooling, a lot of other stuff. Been to Africa many, many times, been on that. So I can't judge everybody according to me, but I still know what my assignment is. You understand? So even me, I'm going through a transformation if I'm going to continue to be who God has called us to be. All right? Now understand this. The guy that was in John 5, okay? A lot of us are like him. Right? When Jesus showed up at the pool in John 5, he encountered a guy, right, who's been in the same condition for 38 years. That's a long time to be in a defeated position. Right? And Jesus asked that man one question. Do you want to be made whole? That's all he asked him. And that guy went with all these excuses. There's nobody. When the water's stirred, there's nobody to put me in the pool and people step over top of me. Jesus said, hey, I didn't ask you all that. All I ask you is, do you want to be made whole? All right? Because that's what we do. All right? When change comes, we start making up excuses. Okay? We start making up excuses why we can't change. All right? But see, God don't want to hear that because, see, excuses are just nails to build houses of failure and defeat. That's all it is. Every time we make up an excuse, another nail building that house. But see, Jesus gets right to the point, same way Paul get right to the point, all right, that we're the ones that have to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Father, change me. But we have to change our mind. See, when we're self-absorbed, self-absorbed people don't want to hear nothing that you got to say, even if it is the truth. And that's what Amber was talking about this morning. See, people don't like to hear truth, even when it is truth. You ever see a parent that just slaps their kid in the face? Why? Because it's truth. Little kid says something, okay? Because, you know, people say, the phone rings, say, tell him I'm not home, okay? But mommy, you're sitting right here. What? Right? Because kids only know truth. You understand what I mean? It doesn't matter how old you are. Truth is truth. And that's what Jesus said. He cut through the chase. That's what this word is all about. It's truth. Like it or not, God is not changing. This word is designed to change you. You can't change it. We're always trying to change the word to make it fit. That's why we come up with so many excuses. But the Bible says that Jesus already knew this man's condition before he even asked him the question. And guess what? Jesus knows your condition too. He knows your condition too, and he's asking you questions so that you will be the one that says, okay, I have to change. I have to change. And that's what the church is all about. Do you notice when he raised Lazarus from the grave? Jesus was the one that called him out, right? But what did he say to the crowd? You take the grave clothes off him. All right? He said, I'll raise him up. Now it's up to you to make them live the way that they're supposed to be. And that's what the church is all about. That's why so many people who are self-absorbed, when they hear a word or the pastor tells them something or one of your brothers or sisters come to you and tell you about your lifestyle that's out of order with the word, now you judging me. All right? Why? Because you self-absorbed. Yeah, I'm in the church, but I still won't do what I want to do. See, you don't need them people in your life. You need people that's going to get right up in your face. Like I had people all through my life in ministry get right up in my face and tell me about myself. They're the people that you need in your life because they're the people that really love you. They're the people that really love you. But it's up to you to renew your mind about the word, about change, because God is about change. And what did Jesus do after the guy put the mud on his eye and he went and washed at the pool? All right? And then he could see. But when Jesus caught him in the temple, he said, listen, buddy, sin no more or something worse is going to come upon your life. All right? Same way with the woman at the well. Jesus talked to her. She became an evangelist. The woman caught in adultery. Jesus told her, I don't accuse you, but sin no more. See, there has to be a change. Her mind was changed. The lady at the well had five husbands living with number six. Jesus went to the whole thing. He read her email, right? You had five, and the one you live with ain't yours. All right? Cut through all the chains. All right? But she accepted the change. She accepted the change. And that's what we have to do. We have to accept the change. We have to embrace the change. That somebody is telling me that lifestyle's out of order. Somebody's telling me that I'm on my way going to hell. And change came up, no matter what form it looks like. And that's what we have to understand. We must be willing to change. We must be willing to embrace the change. And it all starts in our thoughts. All right? Ephesians 4, 22 through 23. It talks about in the New Living Translation. It says, throw off your evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through. All right? Now, this is the Bible. Rotten. You're rotten. Okay? Rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness and righteousness, holy and true. All right, everybody understand that? He's talking about what you used to be to oppose who you are now. All right, you were created in righteousness and holiness, and that's the way you should live your life, all right? Now, see, you have to change. You have to make a decision. Either I'm going to continue to do what I used to do, or I'm going to receive this word and understand that I was created just like God in true holiness and true righteousness. That's where the change comes, all right? And you're the one that makes that decision whether you're going to do it or whether you're not, all right? But change is difficult, all right? It's not going to be easy. But change is not impossible, all right? Change is not impossible. I mean, you could change. You could change. You could change. There's so many people. I talk about, I want to lose weight, all right? Well, you better stop eating them donuts. And you better turn that plate over, all right? And you better go see Micah down there at the Mac gym so she can put you on the program you want to lose weight, okay? It's not impossible. But you're going to have to do something about it. And the first thing comes with a desire. Do you have a desire to change? All of us do. Because, you know, living in situations and circumstances, sometimes it's very painful. But because we have conditioned ourselves to live that way, we think this will never change for me. I'll never get out of this. I'll never, you know what I mean, be out of debt. I'll never be in a meaningful relationship. And you won't, because Jesus said that in the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And as long as you keep speaking like that, guess what? You never will. But as soon as you start changing up here, something different is going to happen here that's going to get inside of here, and then the change is going to come. That's what's going to happen. But if you don't change it up here, okay, regardless of what everybody says to you. All right? Listen, I'm a pastor, been pastoring for years. People still say crazy stuff to me, but I act like they ain't even talking to me. I hear them, but I just keep it moving. All right? I know you ain't talking to me because I know who I am. And what you say to me is not going to affect who I am. See, we get caught up in what people are saying about me. They don't like me, and they talking about, well, they've been talking about you, and they still going to talk about you. Okay? You can't change what people say about you. Okay? You can't change people from saying what they're going to say, acting crazy as they act. But one thing you can do is stop receiving it. Okay? Change. Change what you do. I'm not receiving that. And get bold. Tell them, I don't receive that. I hear you, but I don't receive it. Because that's your right as a child of God. You ain't got to receive everything somebody says to you. The problem of it is you have received too much negativity throughout your life. You're never going to be nothing. You're never going to amount to nothing. You ain't like your big sister, your big brother. You ain't like that kid who plays sports. You ain't like that cheerleader. So you have internalized that stuff, and you keep hearing that being played over in your mind and mind. And as soon as you get ready to do something, the enemy says, remember, you ain't going to be this, you ain't going to be that. But my Bible says, yet in all things, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm going to listen to what the word says. I don't care what you say. I'm going to listen to what Jesus said. Amen? Because that's the only way it's going to change. And if you're in a house where people don't want to change what they're saying, move out. God, show me how to get out of here. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You don't have to stay in that situation, in that circumstance. You don't have to live in that same neighborhood or whatever where people acted crazy. Get yourself together. Get your finances together and say, God, what must I do to get up out of here? I want to follow you. I don't want to be in this negative situation. Okay? But sometimes you're going to be in a negative situation. David lived in a hostile situation, but he was still a king. Saul tried to kill him. Could you imagine that? Every time he showed up, he had to look for that nut throwing spears at him. Okay? So your hostile situation is changing you into the kingly man or woman of God there is, but you don't have to stay there. You understand that? Change. Change. You have to start thinking, this is not what God created me to be. See, because first we have to understand what God, he said in Genesis 1:26, created man in our image and likeness. Let them have dominion over the works of our hand. Do you understand that? There's something inside of you to let you know that you're supposed to be in a better position. You're supposed to be in a better place. You're supposed to be ruling the situation and circumstance. It's not supposed to be ruling you. Why? Because you were created in the image and likeness of your Father. And he said, let them have dominion over the works of our hands. For too long, we have been allowing other people to have dominion over us when we're supposed to have dominion over them. Even your job, them crazy bosses. Negative, nasty, cussing, production bosses. If you don't produce so much, you up out of here. Guess what? I'm up out of here anyway. Okay? I'm serious. Listen, I was in the Carpenters Union for 16 years. Okay? When them bosses acted crazy, I told them, get my check. Okay, I've been kicked off better jobs than this. Get my check right now, buddy. Okay? So before you're going to hold the paycheck over my life, all right, you're just a resource. God is my source. I'll get another job. Ain't no thing. Come on, that's right. You got to understand that you have the power to change your situation and circumstance. Now I'm saying don't be crazy, get mad. Bastard Don said, quit my job. No, I didn't. Okay? Let's reel it in a little bit. I know how it goes. Back it up. Okay? But you need to pray and ask God, Father, you know, because sometimes we just took a job because you needed a job. How do you know that's the God, job that God wanted for you in the first place? Okay, but now that you're there and you got a greater understanding, ask God, is this the place that I'm supposed to be? Okay? How do you know your time is not up? You know, getting laid off or whatever, it's not always a bad thing. We just look at it as a bad thing because we look at paycheck to paycheck. But we got to get out of that paycheck to paycheck and say, God shall supply all of my needs. And that's a part of changing. We have to change who our source is. All right? Some of you just need to go back to school. You've been wanting to go to school, keep putting it off. But for what? You want to go to school. The desire is in your heart to go to school. Go to school. Draw the line. Call the school. You say you want to go to school all you want. Did you call a school? Did you find out how much it's going to cost you? Do they have an online course where I can stay home and do it? We're living in the age of technology. Come on now. We're living in the age of technology, but change. Don't suffer in a place you don't want to be only because you don't want to change. Yes, it's going to take effort. Yes, it's going to take you doing a little bit more than what you do. Do you realize that most millionaires don't even know about the Kardashians and all their foolishness because they don't watch TV? That's why they're millionaires. They ain't got none of that foolishness, okay, going on in their lives because they have made a decision. See, the only reason why we ain't millionaires is because we don't think like millionaires. Find a millionaire and ask him how he think, and I guarantee it's contrary to the way that you think, and myself included, but I'm going to start thinking like one because I know I can. I know I can. See, we got all this stuff in our lives from other people that you're too old, okay? You ain't pretty enough. You ain't smart enough. Who told you that? Okay? Remember when Adam, God said, who told you that, Adam? Who told you were naked? Who told you that? And that's what God knew. See, as long as we stay in fellowship with God, I don't care how old you are. Caleb was 85 years old. 85. And he told Joshua, give me the hill country. He didn't say, give me the plains where the water's nice and smooth so I can float down. He said, no, give me the hill country so I can go get them giants. He knew there was giants up in the hill country at 85 years old. So you ain't too old. It's just the way you're thinking about things. It's the way you're thinking about it. All right? What do you want for your children that you never had? I don't mean don't give them clothes and all that. What type of foundation do you want to build in your children that you have never had? Change. Change. Right? Change. All of us have to go through this change. Paul said you could do it, but you have to present your body. And it starts here. I remember the story I heard somebody tell. You might have heard it too. About this little girl was talking to her mommy. And he said, mommy, why do you cut the ham in half? She said, because that's what grandma did. Okay? And she said, but why? She said, why don't you go ask grandma? All right? So she went and asked grandma, grandma, why do you cut the ham in half? She said, honey, because when me and grandpa first got married, we couldn't afford a pan big enough to put the whole ham in, so I cut it in half. See, sometimes we follow people, but we don't ask them why. See, because if mama had to ask mama, why you cutting the ham in half, she would have told her, and she could have bought the pan to put the whole ham in. You understand what I mean? So sometimes we have to look inside of ourselves. Why am I even doing what I'm doing? Why do I continue to do this when I know I'm supposed to live a better life? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He said, the thief is the one that's trying to seek to kill and destroy you. I'm not the one. So if we're not living the abundant life, guess what? It ain't got nothing to do with God and everything to do with us. So we're going to have to start changing our minds the way we look at it until that abundant life starts showing up in each and every one of our lives. Amen? Because that's what change is all about. And we have to be willing. We can't be self-absorbed with ourselves. Well, this is the way I've been taught. You've been taught wrong. This is the way my coach told me. He told you wrong. This is the way my professor, your professor's wrong. He is not God. Ephesians 2 and 10 says that we are his workmanship. The Amplified says recreated in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay? Because of the cross, we have been recreated. God is doing a thing in you. Let him have his way. Stop fighting God. Stop fighting God. We have been trained so much to talk about the devil and don't understand. It ain't the devil. It's God trying to change you. He's trying to change you into the image and likeness of his son. We want the blessings of heaven, but we don't have the character to go with it. That's the holdup. Jesus told his disciples, there's many more things that I want to tell you, but you can't handle them right now. And there's a lot of stuff that we want from God that we can't handle it right now. No matter how many people have walked away from God because they got blessed, whether it was an accident or something else, money changes people. It just amplifies what you are. All right? It just amplifies what you are. All right? Because, see, if you was used to going to Motel 6 when you get money, now you're going to be on cruise ship number 9. So before God does anything in your life, he changes our character. Why? Because he gave us giftings and callings that will take us to places that our character will not sustain us. So that's why he has to do a change inside of us. So therefore, when the blessing does come, that he gets the glory for it all. Amen? That's what it's all about. That's why this change is so important. You know, change alters us. When you got something that don't fit, you have to take it to the tailor or somebody you know to make it fit. Right? Just like David, when he was getting ready to fight Goliath, he was offered the king's armor. But David said, this doesn't fit me. Number one, it don't fit me, and it hasn't been tested. You got armor, you're the king, and you don't even want to fight. How sad is that? But I'm going to give it to you. So you go out there and get whooped up. All right? I'm going to give it to you. So you got to be careful with people. They will give you stuff. Go on out there, boy. The king didn't even test it. But see, David was in God's provision. He knew exactly what to do. He said, listen, I've killed the lion, I've killed the bear, and God will put this uncircumcised Philistine in my hand. See, it's out of relationship with God, you know, and that's what this word is. This word is about relationship with God. 66 books on the way that God thinks about every situation in life. You want to listen to Dr. Ruth and the other guy, Dr. Phil, and all them other ones, but you need to talk to the chief physician whose name is Jesus Christ, who championed life, the author and the finisher of our faith, the originator of our faith. He that began a good work in you is able to complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. But we have to be willing to go through the process, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, I have the God-given ability to change. Let's go. In the name of Jesus Christ, I have the God-given ability to change. You need to speak to yourself. Speak to yourself until it's in your spirit. That's what that faith comes by hearing is all about. Because once it's in here, I don't care what anybody says about you. Have a good day. I'm going over here. We ain't got to be belligerent, but we have to understand that we were created for change, all right? After the fall, God created us to change, all right? So we start living just like Jesus did, champion life on every situation and every circumstance. Amen? God has designed certain things for us, giftings, anointings, all right, that fit us, doesn't fit who we was before we came to Jesus Christ. And we have to take an honest assessment of our lives and of ourselves. Is this word the final authority in my life? When situations and circumstances come into your life, is the word the final authority? Or what the bank man told me, or what the insurance man told me, or even what the doctor told me? Okay? Listen, I don't care what that doctor told you. My Bible says that by his stripes, I am healed. Now, that don't mean you might not have to go through a little something, okay? But the thing of it is, you're healed. Jesus said, do you want to be made whole? Because of the cross, we have been made whole. Body, finances, everything. The woman with the issue of blood, 12 years going to the doctors, all right? And it wasn't the physicians like we had, okay? Them rabbis, you do this, you do that, you do that. 12 years, all their money, everything gone. But the day she touched Jesus by faith, her whole life was changed around. And that's what we have to understand. 12 years. Okay, a lot of us get a hangnail, we whining and crying. 12 years. 12 years of being ostracized. 12 years of not being able to go to church. 12 years of being a social outcast. 12 years, children can't be around you. 12 years because she's unclean, not being with her husband. 12 years. But she heard about Jesus. All right? She heard about Jesus. And she made a decision in her mind. She said something different. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. You know how weak that woman was after 12 years? And the throng of the crowd. See, the throng of the crowd is not always right. There was people touching Jesus because he would, you know, after he said, who touched me? They said, listen, everybody's touching you. But see, some people are around Jesus, but they don't touch him for the right reasons. See, that woman's need was met because she touched God by faith. But she heard something. She heard about Jesus. She heard about the miracles. She heard about the blind eyes being opened. She heard about the lame walking. She heard about the dead Lazarus being raised to life. And she made a decisive decision in her life. I'm not going to live in this condition anymore. And that's what you have to do today. I don't know what your condition is, but I do know one thing, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And whatever your situation and circumstance is, guess what? Jesus is here for you to reach out and touch him. But you have to do it by faith and have to believe that my life has to change. You have to have a desire to change. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you're struggling with. You have to have a desire to change and reach out to God with everything you got and let him meet you at your point of need. Because he looks past our faults and he looks to our need. And that's what it's all about. But it all starts right here. It all starts right here. What am I thinking? I've been in this condition so long. Only because I thought I couldn't change. But I'm here to tell you today that you can change. And I don't care what it is. I don't care the situation. I don't care the circumstances. That you can change. But it starts with the renewing of your mind. You renew your license. You renew your insurance. You renew everything in your life. It's time to start renewing your mind so that you see yourself the way that God created you. That you see yourself as healed. You see yourself as delivered. You see yourself as brand new. Some of you smiled on your face, but you're not smiling on the inside. And you've been that way for a long time. It's time to change. It's time to change. It's time to stop listening to them old voices of your past that's saying to you, you're not going to make it. That you ain't worth nothing. Yes, you are. Because Jesus said in Matthew 6 about the sparrows and the birds and everything else, he said, aren't you much more valuable than these? You have value in God. You have value in God. He sent his son bankrupt heaven just for you. You got value. He gave up everything he had for you to live a victorious life, not a defeated life. Amen? Everything in God is victory. Victory. But you got to fight for it. But first of all, you got to have faith enough to believe it. God, today I want to change. Father, I just thank you right now for these people, oh God. Close your eyes. Lord, put before them, oh Father, the things that need to be changed in their life. Every situation and every circumstance, oh God, that makes them feel defeated, dear God. Every situation and circumstance, oh Lord, that makes them look at themselves as less than what you created them to be, oh God. Every situation, dear Lord, that is coming against the abundant life that Jesus Christ died for to make us free. Reveal it to them now, oh Lord. And let them move and say, today is the day of my change. I will no longer stay in this situation. I will no longer stay in this relationship. I will no longer stay in this place of defeat. I'm going to get on my feet and believe God and come to the place where I'm going to touch him and be made free. And if that's you, come forward, please. Don't wait. Don't wait.